That is the audio portion of a YouTube video featuring Maureen Conlon Gutierrez performing the Schumann Violin Sonata, Opus 105. This past February, I attended part of Sphinx Connect at the 20th annual Sphinx competition in Detroit. The Sphinx organization is the Detroit-based national organization working toward diversity in the arts for Black and Latino musicians. One of the people I was able to talk with briefly there was Mexican-American violinist Maureen Conlon Gutierrez. Maureen was born and raised in San Miguel de Allende in the heart of Mexico. Today she is a solo concert violinist performing in Latin America, Europe, and the United States. Getting started as a musician at that time that she was growing up in San Miguel de Allende was rather challenging.
It was extremely difficult. Basically, there was a fine arts school that is still government funded, and they would bring in a teacher once a week that would do group classes. And when I first started, I was about 7 years old. I'd say the class was about 5 to 10 kids, and over 5 years, basically, it dwindled to nothing, and I was the only one left standing. And the teacher was a self-taught violinist who played in a mariachi band, so finding quality teaching, quality education was extremely tricky unless you had a lot of money to travel to the big city, like Mexico City, and which my parents just could not afford to do. So I basically stayed with the same teacher for 5 years until I decided that's it, I've had enough, and I actually quit. And it wasn't until about 6 months later that a violinist moved from Cuba to a town very close to mine, and he offered to actually teach me for basically nothing. And but it's extremely difficult. It's now just starting to become a lot more possible for young kids in Mexico to not only have access to the education, but be able to play in orchestras, something that I was never able to do, being the only violinist in my town, and to be able to really have a culture of what classical music is all about.
Yep. You were 18, you went through high school in Mexico and then came to the United States, so really you sustained yourself through your own inner energy and desire for the music.
Most definitely. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of perseverance and basically inner strength of saying this is what I love to do and being absolutely positive that no matter what happens, you're going to push through. And I knew what my goal was. I knew I wanted to study in a big school in the U.S. or in Europe, and I just practiced until I could find a way to actually be good enough to be able to get into a conservatory level music school, which would be definitely a very high goal, but I made it somehow.
Maureen's eventual violin studies with Pedro Gasca and Gilberto Nunez in her hometown in central Mexico proved to be crucial to her development as a violinist, eventually going to Rice University in Houston. How did you feel that you measured up to what maybe the university was expecting of other students? Did you feel like you were behind or that you really had been on the right track?
That actually is a very complex question, and I'll give you kind of a two-part answer. One is, yes, I was definitely at a very different level, and there was absolutely no way I could be anywhere near the level of the kids coming from a conservatory background. And so I knew that as soon as I got in, I needed to work 10 times harder than everyone else in my class to even figure out what a major or minor scale was, because I had no background in music theory, in just basic knowledge of music other than how to play my violin. And there's always this question in the back of your mind, how in the world did I get in? Did I get in to fulfill the Latino quota? Did they just need a Mexican in their program? So trying to figure out how to navigate that am I good enough, or am I here because I am the right color they were looking for at the time. When I actually started at Rice University Shepherd School of Music, I was the only Latino in the entire music program. That fortunately changed over the 4 years that I was there, but it was extremely tricky, and my goal as soon as I got there was to prove everyone that I deserved to be there, not just because of my color, but because I could actually work hard and be at the same level as they were. By the time I got to my senior year, I was at the front of the orchestra in terms of seating, and that to me was kind of a way to prove to myself and to my peers and my professors that I could do it and that they made the right decision.
So you're speaking from that experience, the comments you made in this session that we just come out of, make sure that you can hold up your end of the bargain and that you're prompt and that you can play the parts.
Most definitely. I think you are judged a little bit differently, not only because you are a different color, but we do at times have disadvantages in terms of what kind of education we were, that was accessible to us. And so you do have to work harder, and you have to have a lot more stamina, and you have to be willing to push through and learn 10 times more things than everyone else is learning in the same amount of time.
Did you feel that was a sort of an ongoing thing, to feel where you felt your ethnicity within your surroundings here in the United States?
It was very obvious to me in the music program, being that I spent probably 98% of my time in that building. Fortunately, I was living in a town, Houston, Texas, that did have, or still does have, a very large Hispanic Latino population, especially Mexican. So in that respect, I guess it was the perfect segue for me to go from Mexico to the U.S. in that I could go and get good Mexican food, and I could go and buy groceries at a Mexican store and somewhat still make my home-cooked meals. But as I moved further north, my next school was Penn State. It became a lot more difficult, and I quickly learned that things that are culturally normal in Mexico were definitely not seen that way in a place like Pennsylvania. So it was a learning curve for sure, and I basically took it as a challenge and also kind of as fun. You know, how can I still remain true to who I am culturally while also fitting in to what is around me in terms of, you know, the orchestras that I'm playing in and the institution that I am working in, and so on and so forth.
How did it manifest itself? Was it sort of a glaze or, you know, an indifference? There weren't any out and out nasty things that happened, but maybe just kind of an indifference to you?
Yes, fortunately, I have had non-violent, if you will, verbally violent experiences. That's never been my experience, thankfully. But as humans, you know, you can always sense when someone is uncomfortable with the way that you say things or do things, you know, the way that we are. So in Mexico, we're actually very affectionate when we say hello, for example. And so I had to quickly remember when everyone would give me that look, that puzzled look and kind of uncomfortable look, I would immediately try to switch gears and be like, oh, this is what is okay here. You know, we shake hands and it's a little bit, you know, more private space, if you will. So it was more the, you sense what the other person is feeling more than a verbal direct comment.
I asked Maureen how she first got involved with the Sphinx organization.
The Sphinx organization started as a competition, and it's in its 20th year of being a competition, and I think it is still probably the main activity for the organization. Everything kind of revolves around the competition, and this is competition week that we're here celebrating. And I actually applied to be one of the competitors, and I was selected as a semifinalist in the senior division. And so once you become a semifinalist in the organization, you are basically part of the family, and you don't have to win. So, you know, the winners, of course, get the monetary benefit, but the benefit of just making it to the semifinals, which is actually a very, very rigorous process. Every year there are more and more qualified applicants sending in audio recordings, video recordings. But once you are in, it's just the benefits are insurmountable. And it's just you get access to free festivals during the summer. You get access to scholarships at major universities and conservatories. You get access to performances across the country. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Ongoing invitations to play in the orchestra?
Definitely. Of course, you have to show up and do your job. But yeah, this is probably my 9th year playing in the symphony.
Maureen Conlon Gutierrez is currently concertmaster of the Erie Chamber Orchestra, a member of the Pittsburgh Opera Orchestra and Wheeling Symphony Orchestra. She has also substituted with Pittsburgh Symphony, Harrisburg Symphony, Civic Orchestra of Chicago, National Philharmonic, and the Virginia Symphony. Maureen is currently the violin viola professor at Grove City College. I spoke with her at the conference Sphinx Connect, held in Detroit, part of the 20th Sphinx competition activities held there this past February, and where she was a speaker and panelist.